Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How many of you believe that song we just sang? Sometimes I wonder if we really do. At the beginning of the year, I shared that for Crossroads, 2023 was going to be a year focused on health, all kinds of health. Mental health, which we started the year out with, right? We spent 9 weeks on mental health. Who would have known we were so messed up? And all I can say coming out of that 9 weeks is, wow. I had no idea, but thank you, Jesus, for all that he's done and what he's doing in the hearts and lives of his people. Yeah. But today we're going to kick off a three-part message series that's going to lead us up till Easter, talking about church health. Church health. What makes a church healthy? What makes one unhealthy? If one's healthy, can it be healthy again? If it's healthy, how do you keep it healthy? And does it really matter? I mean, is the church really that big of a deal anyway? And what part do you play? What part do I play? And what does God have to say about all of it? Well, if you would take out your message outlines, we're going to go on quite a journey today as we kind of lay a foundation. We're going to give you an opportunity to take a step today as well. But let's start with Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. If you're familiar with this passage, it's known widely as the Great Commission. It's Jesus' marching orders for the church. So if you're going to see if the church is healthy or not, it's like, okay, what did God who set it up say we're to be about? Jesus said this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission, right? This Great Commission that God gave the church. Let me tell you what he didn't say to his followers. This is the orders he gave them before he went to heaven, but let me tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, go into all the world and show up in nice church buildings for an hour every week. Sing a few songs, hopefully the ones you like. Preach a message and then send everybody home until next week. And bonus points if you provide some coffee and some snacks. And then look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 33 or 36 through 40. This is called the Great Commandment. And interesting, Jesus said, if you want to summarize the whole Old Testament in just a brief statement, here it is. He had a teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? That's the whole Old Testament. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second commandment is just equally as important. Love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets, Old Testament, are based on these two commands. So Jesus said, if you want to summarize the whole Old Testament, you can summarize it with two phrases. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. 35 and a half years ago when we started what is now called Crossroads Community Church, we determined that we were going to be a church that was going to honor God. That we were going to be a church where people were welcome to come as they were. To hear about a God that loves them more than they could ever imagine or dream. That there was a God that's not mad at you, but he's mad about you. And we took why we exist out of those two passages I just read. And fill in these blanks if you don't know it. Crossroads exists. You want to know why we exist? Based on what God said we're to do. We exist to reach people for Christ, helping them become fully devoted followers of Christ who will impact the world. That's why we exist. We want to reach people Because God loves all people. We want to help them become, you and I that know him, to become fully devoted followers of Christ who will go out from this building on a Sunday and make an impact in our community and our world. Because it matters. Because every person you lock eyes with is going to spend eternity somewhere. That's the importance of the church. We're going to talk about that today. Would you just pray with me? God, thank you. God, that you say that you will build your church. God, thank you for this church. We want to honor and glorify you. Empower us, God, your church called Crossroads, to be light in a world that is very, very dark in so many ways. God, show us how we have been chosen by you to be your representatives, your ambassadors in this community and the world. And it matters because people matter. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to land in the book of Acts today, Acts chapter 2 for the most part. I want to give you some context so you kind of see what's going on here. It'll make more of an impact. This is right after Jesus had given his life on the cross. So he had been beaten, he had been tortured, he had been hung up on this cross. And it's also after Easter Sunday when God miraculously raised Jesus back from the dead, which we're going to celebrate in 3 weeks, which defeated death, it defeated hell, it defeated the grave, and it's what gives you hope and myself hope and every person you love. The hope is because of what he did on the cross and what he did after the cross coming out of the grave. And a guy that was there that witnessed some of this, that hung out with Jesus, a guy a lot like us that was kind of a screw up, right? Can we just admit that? The person next to you, they're a little messed up. Person that's up here, a little messed up, maybe a little more than some. But he actually stood up and he preached after Jesus had come back from the dead, and he spoke and he told about the love of Jesus Christ, about what Jesus had done for them. And the Bible says that about 3,000 people were saved that day. 3,000 people after Peter preached gave their lives to Christ. His life was changed. Lives were changed. People were forgiven. He preached about repentance, that there's hope for you, that there's a God that loves you. Jesus is proof of that, and 3,000 people were saved. And then Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, and so he's going to give this brand new start of a New Testament church, the hope of the world, because Jesus is going. He's leaving it in our hands. We pick up the story in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. They devoted, somebody say they devoted. Don't want to miss that today. This is huge. They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching, that's God's word, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they were devoted to Jesus, they were devoted to the things of Jesus, and everyone, this is amazing, was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, who got their power from Jesus. And all the believers, get this, all the believers were unified. They were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions, get this, to give everyone who was in need. And this is mind-blowing. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And now watch this. And what happened as a result of that? And the Lord added to their number how often? Daily. The Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved, those that were coming into the kingdom of God. That's the power of a unified church and God working through them. Now, before we move on, I want to read to you a text from a different version. This is from the MUV version, which you might not understand what the MUV version is. It's the made-up version. It's not a real one. Don't go looking for it. Don't send me emails later and say, I looked at it. I couldn't even find it. It's not there. But I want to take that same passage and read it in a different way that may be more true today than it's ever been, which is sad. They were devoted to their own comfort, their own happiness, their own personal goals and dreams and bucket lists. No one really noticed the Christians because they were focused on themselves. Very few of the believers were together. And when they were, they fought over stupid things. If they sold anything, they used the money to buy something better for themselves. And they claimed to love God, but they didn't even love each other. So they felt empty, alone, and depressed. And as a result, most people disliked them. And very few lives were changed. Can we agree that God has something way, way, way better than that for His church? The local church is the hope of the world. If you and I that know Him personally don't share the good news with others, guess what? They won't hear about Him. If we don't live our lives in a salty enough way, they won't be thirsty for Him. If we don't share His hope and the hope that's in Him, they won't have any hope. We have to be healthy. Again, in Acts 42, that 42nd verse, they devoted themselves to the thing of Jesus, to His teaching. And I think one of the most important words in all the New Testament is this word devoted. This word devoted. In the Greek, it's proskaterio. It's the word proskaterio. It means in a constant state of relentless pursuit. It's a persistent, ongoing, obstinate devotion. It captivates your heart. That's what these disciples had. They had this unrelenting devotion, this proskaterios. Their heart, their number one thing in their life was they were devoted to God and His word and His teachings. Can I tell you something about you? You probably didn't even know this when you walked in here today or you tuned in today. Every single one of us has a proskaterios. Didn't even know you had a proskaterios, did you? You have something that captivates your heart. You have devotion to something in your life, and so do I. We all do. Can I shake you a little bit? Get you maybe a little stirred up a little bit. For some of you, you know what your proskaterios is, and we think this is good. For some of us, it's our kids. We've built our whole lives around our kids, and we think it's a good thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's just not the best thing. If your kids aren't number one in your life, that's a good thing if Christ is instead of them. Can I just tell you that? Anything that's in first place other than Him and His word is out of place. That's why He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you and well. It's what puts everything else in its proper place is putting Jesus first. But some of us have other things first. Let's just be honest, we do. Our proskaterios, for some of us, it's kids. For others of us, it's our career. I told you about my journey, right? I told you about my counseling. I told you about the fact that the counselor kind of hit me upside the head and basically said, yeah, I know all you can't think about anything except church 24/7, but what about God? Wow. For some of you, your proskaterios is a hobby. For some of you, it's about having enough money in the bank account to be able to retire the way you want to. Not bad things, just not the best thing. For some of you, it's your shoe game. I get it. Your proskaterios is whatever is taking up the majority share of your heart. It's often the first thing you think about in the morning, the last thing you think about at night. What is it? These disciples in the New Testament church, when this whole thing got started and Jesus gave them their marching orders, it said they were devoted to Jesus and his teachings. What had the majority share of their heart was God and his word, doing the work that he gave them to do. We look around today and unfortunately, there's a lot of casual believers. There's a lot of us that just kind of have a more comfortable approach to Jesus. We just like to sprinkle him in here and there when we need him. When we want him. But we're not fully devoted in a lot of seasons of our lives. These first century believers, they were sold out. They were all in. They were devoted followers of Christ. They sought first Jesus and his kingdom. But does it really matter? It does if you realize that the hope of the world, the hope of your loved ones and mine, is in Jesus, but we're the delivery vehicles. The world that is so dark and that is so searching is looking for answers that they don't have, but you and I as followers, we know the answer to. I want to tell you about a man that maybe you don't know. His name is Ellsworth J. Miller. That's his picture. Anyone know of this person? Ellsworth J. Miller was a man who in 2002, at his wife's funeral that Crossroads was a part of, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And Ellsworth J. Miller was a hardworking man his whole life. He was a good person by the world's standards. But he didn't know Jesus. Matter of fact, if you had tried to have a conversation with him about Jesus, he would just walk away. He was so confused about how do you really know what the truth is? Like there's so many different religions. How do you know? But at his wife's funeral in 2002, Ellsworth Miller gave his heart and life to Jesus, and he did it in a public way. And his life was transformed. What his wife often joked about was that he would go to hell and his love of money would send him there. He was a hard-working man, but he wasn't up to that point a generous man. He never really went to church. His parents died when he was young. He was raised by his grandparents. But God got a hold of his heart at his wife's funeral and he gives his life to Christ and his life is transformed. All of a sudden, church became a high priority. He was there every single week. Reading his Bible became a priority. Every way he thought prior was changed. He had a different outlook. What was a kind, upstanding man before was now a very loving and a very generous man. Not only did all of those things happen, but he began to serve at Crossroads. He actually was a part of our traffic team. And he would be out in the parking lot, cold or hot, and serve and smile and talk to people, which was completely out of his normal comfort zone. He followed through in a believer's baptism. He became a cheerful giver, which was another sign of transformation. It's too bad his wife had already died because she would have died seeing the change. Mr. Miller continued to serve at Crossroads and be in every service until he got brain cancer and died. But to this day, I am so grateful for this church. That was a church where all people were welcome. a church that would accept you as you are, a church that shared about a God that loves unconditionally. Ellsworth Miller was my stepdad. He gave his life to Christ at my mom's funeral. My mom gave her life to Christ just weeks before she passed away, and she didn't know she was sick. The last time my mom was in Crossroads Community Church was the day I got the privilege of baptizing her. Folks, that's why the church exists. I don't know where your mom is at, your dad is at, your brother, your sister, the people that you love the most. But we've got to be a healthy church for people like that to come unashamedly, to be able to walk in just as they are and hear about a God that loves them that way. Because if it can happen to family members of mine, who honestly, I believed I'd bury both my mom and my stepdad, preaching their funeral and saying they didn't know Jesus. But God had a different plan. And I'm so grateful for this church and the people that have come before you that have paved the way for this kind of thing to happen. Folks, that's why the church exists. We've got to be healthy. We've got to be healthy. There's too much on the line. Fill this in if you're taking notes as Christ followers. Can I just tell you, if you haven't figured this out yet, we are the church. If you're a Christ follower here and this is your church home, we are the church, you and I. All of us, we are the church. If you see the very cool logo that they built for this series, it's got all these puzzle pieces with families and pictures of people on them. And some people, some parts are missing. Because the Bible says we all form the one body of Christ and we're all different parts of it, but together we form one body called Crossroads. You ever put a puzzle together? It's got like 1,000 pieces and you get done, there's a piece missing. You're like, are you kidding me? I think whoever manufactures them, I really think they do it to tick us off. It's like you work so hard and it's like, where did it go? What if you got like 5 or 10 pieces missing? What if half the pieces are missing? I want you to keep that in mind about the church. If all the parts are in place, listen, we're a one great family that God has made multidimensional to do his work in a way that honors him. But the more parts that aren't in place are doing their thing, then we're not as effective. We're not as healthy. It's like when one of your body parts isn't working as well as it is. They call that disease. Something's out of order. It's true of the church. We are the church, and we exist for our community and world. We don't exist for us. The church, we're not just internal. It's not just about us. Matter of fact, this is kind of like the filling station. This is like the pep rally for us to go out and the rest of the week and be the church in this community and world. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. One translation says each of you is a separate and necessary part. Do you know you're a necessary part? Do you know you are a part? And this body, we're only as healthy as our parts. Together we form this one body. We have work to do that literally changes eternity. And where people spend it. We're his representatives. We're his ambassadors. Do you recognize that? Whether you're a good one or a bad one, or I'm a good one or I'm a bad one, that doesn't change. But the fact is, according to God, I'm a representative of his. I was made on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. And if I don't do the purpose God put me here for, we're not as good of a church. If you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, then we're not as effective, which means there's fallout from that. Can I ask you, how devoted are you to that? How aware are you that you're a part? That the greatest thing that you can do is devote your heart towards Jesus and the things of Jesus. Well, what might you do? What do you do? Where do we go from here? I'm glad you asked. I got a few things. You might be overwhelmed when you leave here today. I hope not. You might say, holy cow, there's six things. I got to step it up in all those areas. Okay, pick one or two to start with. Let me give you some options of how you become fully devoted. You've got to begin each day reading God's word. I'm not going to fall in love with the God who fell in love with me if I don't know about the God. And if I don't read, I can't know about him. I'm not just going to leave it up to somebody else to tell me about this God who gave his life for me. I'm going to spend time with him every day. I'm going to make him a priority. Why? Because he is. Remember, we just sang that song. There's nothing greater than you. Really? When's the last time you opened up his word? If he's that great, why aren't we drawn there first? And I'm not beating up on you. I'm just shaking you a little bit, waking you a little bit, waking myself a little bit, right? If he's so important to us, wouldn't we want to spend time? If I said, who's the most important person in your world? And you said, it's this person, it's this person, it's this person. Does your time show it? And you know what? You say, oh, how important are my kids? Oh, we spend all the time. Matter of fact, we don't do anything. My husband and I don't. It's all focused on our kids. That's not good. Oh, Jesus is number one, really. When's the last time you opened up his word? But be careful. Because when you start reading God's word consistently, when you start making it a priority, it's alive, it's active, it's going to change you, it's going to change your perspective, it's going to change what you know about truth. You'll be able to spot lies because you'll know the truth so well. It's going to change the way you see this world, because the more you get in tune with God's word, the more you get in tune with the heart of God, which means you start to see and experience people the way he does. And instead of getting angry and being like, man, people are just a bunch of idiots, that's what I do. It's like, no, these are people that Jesus created and he loves. They're in a difficult time. They're struggling. They're addicted. They're without hope. They're angry because they've been hurt. They need to experience his love. Well, who's going to tell them if we don't? That's the church. The second thing to consider is make prayer a priority daily. What if you and I decided we're going to talk to God before we talk to anybody else when we wake up every day? That couldn't be a bad move, could it? Before you plan your day, talk to the God about your day and say, God, listen, use me today. He will. Put people across my path, God, where I can share what you've done in my life. Help me to see people today, not as jerks, but help me to see people as hurting people, people without hope, people that are addicted, people who are struggling, people that have been abused. Make prayer a priority. The third thing is invest and invite. If you have a heart devoted for God, you know what you're going to do? It's going to change the way you see people. You're going to invest in people. You're going to invite people to a place to hear about their love, God's love for them. When's the last time you invited somebody to join you for church? When's the last time, because you've been praying for them, because you've had conversations with them? Who's on your short list of people that if you went to their funeral tomorrow, you're not sure where they'd be? We've got to invest and invite. Are you promoting his work more than your own work? What are you investing in? Do you talk more about him and his kingdom or about you and your little kingdom? Can I just tell you what drives me? As long as there's one person in this community, one person that we have the opportunity to reach out to that's without hope, that can't get freed from addiction, one person that's hungry, one person that's not heard about a God who loves them unconditionally, that wants to save them, wants to forgive them. We can't stop. We cannot stop. Can I just tell you this? And again, this is out of love. Claiming that someone is important to you, but not having any idea where they would spend eternity if they died tomorrow, doesn't make sense, does it? You know how timely this is with Easter 3 weeks away? Do you know that many people, the statistics are far on our side that says if they ever got invited by a friend that took care enough to invite them, that they're open to an invitation, especially on Easter? And the cool thing is it's not tied to spring break this year. Because, you know, I mean, and it's, yeah, I get why you laugh, but listen, if you're on spring break and Easter happens in there, you're not bringing anybody if you're gone. And you know when this really makes sense? When someone you love is gone, and then you're like, huh, wonder where they went. Wonder if I'll see them again. I wonder if they knew Jesus. Why didn't I ever have a conversation with them? Why didn't I ever really invite them? Why haven't I really been praying for them? We're the church. We exist for this world. Invest and invite. Use your Easter invites and use your mouth and use social media to promote him. The next one is join a serving team. That's using your time and your talents for his work. Do you know that every person that's given their life to Jesus, I believe, is a 10 in some area, and it's not just to make a living? What's God want to do in your life, in his church? And why did he create you on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose? How can that talent and your time be to honor and glorify him? You can honor and glorify God, sure, in your job. Of course, we should be. I hope we're salt and light where you work. Because you know what I know about the people that you work with? If they know you're a believer, they're going to respond one of two ways. Man, if every Christian is like that person, that Crossroads must be some kind of church. Or, man, if everybody that goes to Crossroads is like them, whew, that must be some kind of church. Right? If you don't do in the body of Christ what God has gifted you to do or made you available or given you availability to do, there's going to be an unfulfilled assignment come that had your name on it that didn't get done. That's the importance of all of us doing our part. When one part in your body isn't effectively working, other parts have to do work extra hard at times, which causes other problems. Or that function just doesn't get done, which causes another problem. Think of that as God's church. So I don't know what I can do. You can do a lot. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what we're not doing because all the parts aren't doing. You'd be surprised and I'd be blown away by all the things God wants us to do we haven't even discovered yet because we have parts that aren't either here yet or they're here, but they're not participating yet. The next one, grow in giving. Grow in giving. We could put tithing there, right? But for some of you, that'd be such a huge step. Can I just tell you, whatever you're doing or not doing, take a step. It's a sign of where our heart is. Matter of fact, you got to be careful where you give because God says that your heart will kind of tell on you, right? Wherever your money goes, it's an indicator of where your heart goes. You see where people spend the majority of their money or invest their money, and you're going to see what's really important. And God says these early believers, what they do, they sold all their possessions and they gave to people that were in need, and there was no more need. Can you really fathom that? Do you know what? If I believe this wholeheartedly, if the church all across this world was doing what the church is supposed to do, which is meeting needs with love in his name, we wouldn't have all the government programs. We wouldn't need them. Would you rather have the government serve your friends or you and I that know Jesus do it? It takes resources. God's already put them into our hands. He asks us, remember this whole thing, this whole common thread about putting Jesus first. Start your day with him. Start your week. What's he say? Don't forsake assembling yourselves together. Sunday should be our day of focus. It's a day of rest, but it's a day of worship. It's a day of gathering our senses back in and reestablishing of what matters. He says the tithe, the first tenth part, belongs to him. He gives it all to us, but he wants us out of love and admiration and understanding that he's the one that gives us 100% to turn it back into his church, his work, to change lives? What if we were all growing in our giving? What if we were all being more generous? What if we're very consistent? We'd be amazed of what else we can do. Another is do life together with others. Do life with others. None of us were created to be lone rangers. It's one of the reasons people struggled so much with isolation during COVID. Some people kind of liked it for a while, and then some people have gotten so comfortable with it that they're uncomfortable. And they realize we're not to be... Do you realize there's over 52 one another's in the scripture in the New Testament that you can't do if you're not connected to other people? Pray for one another, encourage one another, right? Or to help one another, serve one another. All those one another's you can't do in isolation. We have small groups at Crossroads. I'm going to tell you one of the problems with our small groups right now. And I'm going to apologize, although I can't make it all happen myself. We have more people want to be in small groups right now at Crossroads than we have places to put them. It's not because we don't have places to put them. It's because we don't have people yet that have stood up that said, hey, I'll facilitate this. You don't have to have all the answers. We'll talk about that. We'll help you. We'll coach you. But we need to do life together. But you got to be careful, because when you start doing a life together, you're going to start to love other people. You're going to see people love you. You're going to start having accountability. You're going to start caring for people that you didn't even know before. And then you're going to see that, like, when they get sick, you're going to want to take care of them. You're going to want to provide meals for them. You're going to want to go visit them. You're going to want to do little mission trips together. You're going to want to get involved in serving opportunities together, because all of a sudden it's like, wow, these people are weird like me, but I kind of love them. Here's what I want you to do before we wrap this up. And I know this is going to be a little weird today. That's okay. We can handle weird. We handle each other. Take out the serving opportunity form. It's folded in half. You can put it on your note sheet. That'll help you kind of go through this. Listen, let me just give a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to go through these pretty quickly because we need to be fairly quick with this. But I don't want that to make it seem like this doesn't matter, because this matters big time. I hesitate to tell you, hey, if you can't figure this out today, take it home, because I know that statistically you won't bring it back, right? But fully devoted people would, right? So I'm not going to, I hope you can fill this out today. I'm going to go through these just a little bit. And here's what I want you to do. If you're already serving, like, so you're already on a serving team and you love serving on that serving team, don't put that one back down. And I'm not even telling you I got to do another one. You might. We don't want people doing more than two things. Your number one place of service should be based on really what you're gifted to do by God, what you really are great at. And then the second thing that you might do is just because this is a family. It's like, you know what? My wife or I can take out the trash. I change oil in the car because she probably couldn't do very well that, or maybe she could, but I don't want her to do that. She does certain things. I do certain things. Those are things we just do because we're family. So I want you to think about that. So I want you to put no more than two numbers, a one in what you think, if you're not serving currently, what's like your sweet spot? And then two would be, hey, I could do that, maybe two, and we'll work from there, all right? These are kind of broke out in categories. If you're like outreach, community work projects, relief efforts, connecting with our local mission partners or mission teams, whether it's local mission stuff or international, maybe that's a thing for you. If you're into guest services, you like meeting people, you like making a good first impression, listen, this is our home, and when people come in, we want the right type of people to welcome them, because it makes a difference. Traffic team, can I just tell you, for those of you who like nice weather, it's coming, and this would be a great time to be the traffic team. Remember my stepdad? He took great pride. If you were here two weeks ago, when we had True Crossroads Stories, Julie gave her story. She came to Crossroads. Her life's been changed by Crossroads because of our traffic team out waving. You get a chance to do that. We need and we want to build up our traffic team. We say everything happens at Crossroads, starts in the parking lot and ends there. We want some great people added to that team. Guest registration, they kind of check in families and stuff out here. What's happening center, they help people with what's happening, how to sign up for stuff. Safety team, you probably put an asterisk with that one. We have a safety team because safety is huge to us. We want people to start typically in another area of guest services before we put them in safety for obvious reasons, right? But that's still, if you're interested, that could be a point, and you just know that there's more to that. A medical response team. If you're a doctor, a nurse, an EMT, you're medically trained. We, since COVID, we haven't had an official medical response team. Yes, we can call 911, but sometimes seconds make a big difference. And so we want to build that team again where we have people, listen, you'll be here. And like we page a parent if a kid's crying, we might page you if you're on that week and you could go and make an assessment and decide, yeah, we call 911, whatever, and we do that. And that's going to be a huge team. Usher greeters, those are the people that we all love so much. So that's an area. Communication, chat hosts, live stream. If you can work a computer, we've got live stream chat hosts. If you've ever watched online at home, you can do that. On stage presenter, people to do welcome and do announcements and things like that. If you're good on stage, you're a good presenter. We'd love to talk to you about that. Campus support. You like to put things together, tear things apart. Facilities maintenance, cleaning, lawn, landscape, those sort of things. Minor repairs. You say, hey, I got a lot of time during the week. I love to tinker with things. I love to repair things. We'd love to talk to you. Set up and tear down. During the week, we have women's Bible study coming up, right? I love that. They've got over 50 women signed up for the Bible study that's going to start. If you don't know anything about it, you'll hear about it in a minute. But those type of people. Small group leaders, facilitators. You don't have to be the answer people. But literally, we've got a list of people that are looking for small groups. And they just need a place. They need someone to facilitate. You don't have to facilitate in your home. You could say, hey, who else wants to be in this group? We'll just travel around, whatever. But people need to do life together. Prayer team. Technical skilled, we have our Amplify ministry for kids, for students, main stage tech support, sound, computers, lights. You're that kind of person. We'd love to talk to you. They'd love to take you on a tour soon and let you see all the things behind the scenes that just blow my mind, but these people get it. If you're an artsy person, you can play a musician. You got a wonderful voice. Not that your grandma told you, because we see those people on Idol, and it's like, who told you you could sing? But anyway, if you're that, God loves a voice like yours, but will other people? That's a question. All right. Family ministries, if you like working with kids, little kids, babies, birth to four, they'd love to talk to you about that. Family ministries, if you're an event planner, that sort of thing. If you like working with middle schoolers, that's what Jolt is about. If you're into content and want to be a part of brainstorming. And then the other category, because you might have a skill, you might have a passion, a heart, and you're not even sure if we could use it, but you got it. That's what that's for. And then we'll talk to you. Put your name on there, your email, your phone. Best way to contact, whether it's email, phone, or text. If you don't check your email except once a year, don't put email. We'll call you, we'll text you, whatever you tell us. And what's the best time? Obviously, if it's a text or an email, it can be any time. But we want to serve you in the best way. And can I just tell you this? Our leaders, our staff, we'll get after that this week. If you don't hear from us by the end of this week, call us the following week because something went wrong. But if we call you, if we text you, please get back because we want to make sure we can make these connections because the church is that important. If we're the church, which we are, it changes everything. Which means we don't just like take it casual. They were fully devoted. They didn't just show up when it was convenient, when there wasn't much else going on, when the weather was good. They realized that what they had been handed by Jesus was the hope of the rest of the world. If they didn't do their thing, if they didn't communicate his love, it wouldn't happen. And then look at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power. It's not our power. It's his. That is in at work where? In us. The body of Christ. Common, ordinary people that God does extraordinary through when we're together doing them. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through generations to come forever and ever. Amen. What if we were all devoted? like this first church was? What if the biggest part of our heart was focused on him and his work? All the other things that we do in life will fall into place. But if he's not first, he's out of place. You know who we are? We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the church. And the church is the only organization that Jesus ever started. And Jesus said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And every person you and I lock eyes with and love will spend eternity in one of two places. We don't want to stand over them one day and wonder where. So let's take a step. Those forms, make sure they're completed. Again, it's not a pressure thing. It's an opportunity to do what you've been called by God to do. You can drop those in yellow buckets today when we dismiss. But would you pray with me? Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would empower us to do what only you can do. God, I thank you for this church called Crossroads. God, I thank you from the bottom of my heart of all the lives that we've witnessed you change by your love, by your forgiveness, by your transformation power. God, I thank you for my own mom and stepdad who gave their lives to Christ in this place. God, for the many, many, many that you saved that are no longer with us, they're with you. But God, I wonder what work is yet not happening in this community that you want us to be a part of. God, I often wonder if Crossroads failed to exist tomorrow, who would notice? Who would care? If it's only those of us that come here, God, that's unhealthy. God, we want to be used by you in this community and world to make an eternal difference. So God, I pray for everyone wrestling with making a decision. I pray, God, for those that understand the need to ramp up our devotion, to start our day with you, to start our day with prayer, to pray for people, to invest in people, invite people, to use our talents and our treasures, to be consistent, to be cheerful, proportioned givers. Because, God, there's not a greater work we can invest in than yours through the local church. We say thanks. Thanks for loving us. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, today's your day. He's in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. If you'll provide the sinner, which you are, and you turn from your sin and turn to him, this God who defeated the death, defeated the grave, he'll adopt you into his family. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a brand new life. If that's you, make this your prayer. Say, God, I don't understand it all. I admit that I'm a sinner. I've done many things wrong. I turn from my sin today. I turn to you. I put my hope and my trust in you. God, forgive me. Change me. Transform me. Use me from this day forward as a part of your church to make a difference in someone else's life. I say thanks and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.